Hello and welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. John Cook. I'm glad you joined us. In today's study, we will continue our series on Systematic Theology 2. Today, we are carrying on with lesson number 23 in this series. We will deal with finding the will of God. Get right into our series right after this. We now join in progress part 6 of 8 in our study. As a believer, I am to give myself to the Lord and then to the man of God for the will of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." The will of God is that which dictates the circumstances of my life and my giving in my life. Our sole goal is the will of God for our life. The devil is smarter than we are and trips us up by getting us to think he's a really nice person. He's not as bad as we make him out to be, that is. In fact, he presents himself as an angel of light. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 through 15. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So this scripture shows us not only that the devil transforms himself into an angel of light, but his ministers transform themselves. His ministers are just like him. They don't come in announcing that they're bad people. They don't come in announcing that they're going to preach false doctrine. But they come in to deceive us by representing themselves to be for righteousness. We must be ever on our guard in obedience to Mark chapter 13 and verse 34, where Jesus compares himself to a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. The porter is given the responsibility to watch, to be on guard. Our master shall return one day. But in the meantime, we are to be busy about the master's work, about our Savior's work, and be on our guard. On our guard against being deceived into doing the devil's work. We are the servants of the Lord and not man. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. We do what we do for the Lord, not for men. We serve the Lord, not men. And because of this, we must obey God, not man. Just as Peter and the apostles declared in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. They said we ought to obey God rather than men. It is not what man wants in our lives, but what does God want in our lives. That's what counts. Let's do the will of God. God's will is for us then to stand complete and perfect. Colossians 4:12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Notice that the scripture tells us that the prayer is for us to stand complete and perfect in the will of God. Not just in part, but in whole. We are not to be among those that draw back from doing the will of God, putting our hand to the plow and turning and looking back. That's what Jesus speaks of in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Listen to what he says. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Christian, let's don't dishonor the Lord with faithlessness, with turning back from the service of the Lord. We can stay in the race and finish the job, that is, doing the will of God, only by looking unto Jesus. That's what Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 tells us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. If we do not keep our eyes on Jesus, we are likely to give up and fall by the wayside rather than completing our race. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap the rewards of our service from the Savior at the judgment seat of Christ if we faint not. Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Notice that this is a necessity, that we must all appear. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, and consider that it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. At the judgment seat of Christ, we shall receive reward or loss according to what we did or didn't do for the Savior while in our fleshly body. We cannot and shall not lose our salvation, but we can and may lose our rewards. It all depends on our service to the Savior now. The will of God is the only thing that keeps this world in existence, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Look at it. Listen to what it says. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So, Christian, don't worry about global warming. Don't worry about the ecologists. Everything's reserved by God, and it's not going to burn up until God says so. And God is going to say so one of these days. But God preserves this earth for the judgment he has prepared for this earth. When the Lord no longer wants this world to be in existence, this world shall pass away. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Can you say global warming? The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Boy, there's global warming. Now look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, and listen to what it says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Knowing what the Scripture says should change our behavior, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. Look at it and listen to it. God says, seeing then that all these things, the world around us, shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. God says we should live holy and godly lives for the Savior.